Here's Pastor Brian as he begins this week's study.
Welcome to the program today, and all this week we're going to be looking at the blessings which relate to salvation as found in Romans chapter 8 in the first 17 verses. Romans chapter 8 is obviously a special chapter for believers of all generations and all ages. Spener, one who wrote a commentary in the book of Romans, classified Romans 8 this way. He said, if the Holy Scriptures was a ring and the epistle to Romans its precious stone, chapter 8 would be the sparkling point of the jewel. It truly is a precious chapter, and we will find this week that there's five different blessings which relate to salvation in relationship to this portion of Scripture. The first one is found in verse 1, which relates to the fact that the believer is now under no condemnation. The second blessing is found in verses 2 and 3, that the Holy Spirit frees us from sin and death. The third blessing is in verse 4, which is the Holy Spirit enables us to fulfill the law. And then in the larger section, verses 5 through 13, we see that the Holy Spirit changes our natures and gives us victory over sin. And then the fifth and final blessing that we'll look at is the fact that the Holy Spirit confirms our adoption in verses 14 through 17. So this wonderful chapter that we'll be looking at, which describes the present work of the Holy Spirit within the life of the believer. As Godet points out about this beautiful chapter, it begins with no condemnation, it ends with no separation, and in between, it points out that there's no defeat. So we truly are a blessed group of individuals, and my prayer for this week is you'd see how awesome and how incredible and gracious and how complete salvation is in Jesus Christ. So let's look at this first blessing, the fact that there is no condemnation for those that are in Christ Jesus. Verse 1 reads this way, there is therefore now no condemnation to those who are in Christ Jesus. As you read the Bible, one of the things that is very clear is that the Bible is a very condemning book. We start in the book of Genesis, which describes the fall of man and God's judgment upon man and woman and his condemnation that ensued of physical death as well as spiritual death. The last phrase in the book of the Old Testament is a threat of a warning of God's judgment upon the people. And then all through the book of Romans, up through the first three chapters, we see of the condemnation that is upon every person that's ever been born because they have fallen short of the glory of God. Because of sin, we were united in Adam, and because of that, death and sin spread to all men. So the Bible is filled with the condemnation that man is deserving of. But then as we come to Romans chapter 8, now that we are in Christ Jesus, which is the key phrase here, that means we are saved, we're born again, we're followers of Jesus Christ. There is absolutely no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. Now let's look at this where, first of all, Paul says, therefore. And so that means he's pointing back to something that he has just discussed. And Romans 8 and verse 1 needs to be seen in the light of the context in which it is written. Chapter 7 of Romans describes that battle that goes on with every believer's life, the fact that there's still indwelling sin in our life, and we struggle and we battle, where Paul says these words in verse 16 of chapter 7. If then I do what I will not to do, I agree that the law, it is good, but it is no longer I who do it, but sin that dwells in me. For I know that in me, that is in my flesh, nothing good dwells, for the will is present with me, but how to perform what is good, I do not find. Also in verse 25, he says, I thank God through Jesus Christ our Lord. So then with the mind, I myself serve the law of God, with the flesh, the law of sin. So even though it's true that we are battling between the weakness of sin that comes in the flesh and we have the presence of the Holy Spirit within us, even though that battle is intense, where Paul says, I hate what is happening within my life, the believer is still under no condemnation. The New English Bible translates this word, therefore, as the conclusion of the matter is this. And probably what Paul is coming to here at verse 1, he's just taught for seven chapters, first of all, man's condemnation due to sin, and then man's freedom from that condemnation, which is found in chapters 4 through 7. So Paul's coming to that point where he's summarizing all that he has just said about salvation, about being justified by faith, of the imputed righteousness that's been given to us in Christ Jesus. So based on all that he's taught in the first seven chapters, he now comes to that beautiful point that the believer who is in Christ Jesus is under no condemnation. And the word no is also emphatic in the text here, and it's important. Griffith Thomas points out that the word no is very emphatic and emphasized no sort of condemnation, and basically is showing the perfection of our justification. Stifler, another older commentary in the book of Romans, presents it this way. It says, condemnation is none from any source or any cause, none possible, none forever. And the word uden, that's the word translated no in English, as Lenski points out, means not a single one of any kind. So here Paul is emphatically saying that the believer is under no condemnation from any source, from any cause, none possible, none forever, not a single one. And the only way to understand this truth is to understand what Paul taught in Romans chapter 4 of the imputed righteousness that's been given to us in Christ Jesus. And that righteousness which is from God, which is from Jesus Christ, his very righteousness is applied to our life. So now what took place at the cross is that God treated Jesus as if he had lived my life, so that now he could treat me as if I had lived his life. And that's why I'm under no condemnation, because I am in Christ. And now the Father treats me like he treats his own Son, Jesus Christ. I have that perfection of salvation, that perfection of righteousness, where I stand before God in his presence under absolutely no condemnation. So at this point, we need to ask is, well, if this is what Paul clearly teaches in verse 1, that we're under no condemnation of any kind or of any sort, why is it that we still feel condemned as believers? And I would say, first of all, for many, it's because you have not been taught properly the Word of God. Maybe week after week, you've gotten topical sermons, and they never relate to these issues of justification, of sanctification, of passages like this, and you've never really been fed the full counsel of the Word of God, so you don't know all that belongs to you in Christ Jesus. Second, we could look at 1 John chapter 3, verse 20, which says our own heart condemns us at times. And John writes it this way, for if our heart condemns us, God is greater than our hearts and knows all things. So there are points at which our own heart condemns us. We look to the past and we see the sin that we did, or the present sin where we've messed up and fouled up before God, and then condemnation begins to come in because our own heart, our own conscience is bringing condemnation to us. Christ paid for all that sin. He paid for every last bit of it on the cross, and so that's where the condemnation was sent. God condemned his own Son in the flesh so that now I do not have to be condemned. And even if my own heart is condemning me, the source is not God. It's my own heart, and we need to recognize that. That's why the Bible says to bring every thought captive to the obedience of Christ. Third, the devil is one that is the accuser of the brethren. As Revelation chapter 12 and verse 10 records of him, it says this, then I heard a loud voice saying in heaven, now salvation and strength and the kingdom of our God and the power of his Christ have come, for the accuser of our brethren, who accuse them before our God day and night, has been cast down. So it's the devil that comes along to our own minds and hearts and brings that condemnation as well, of trying to point out the past or our own sin, as if God does not forgive us, as if God does not cast our sin as far as the east is from the west. Now, in relationship to the devil, thank God in Colossians chapter 2 and verse 15, that issue is settled at the cross for us, which reads this way, having disarmed principalities and powers, he made a public spectacle of them, triumphing over them in it. And the context there is the cross. So the devil was defeated. The accuser of the brethren was defeated at the cross. Also, our own conscience at times condemns us. But Hebrews chapter 9, verse 14 takes care of this as well. It says, how much more then the blood of Christ, who through the eternal Spirit offered himself without spot to God, purge your conscience from dead works to serve the living God. It's only God that's able to purge and cleanse the conscience. And so it's not God that condemns, the devil condemns us, our own heart condemns us, or we allow our conscience to do so, but all of our sin was taken care of at the cross. And Romans chapter 8, verse 33 and 34 are extremely important in relationship to this aspect of no condemnation. It reads this way, who shall bring a charge against God's elect? It is God who justifies. Who is he who condemns? It is Christ who died and furthermore is risen, who is even at the right hand of God, who also makes intercession for us. Who is it that condemns is the question that's asked. Well, we've seen thus far, it could be our own ignorance of the Bible. It could be our own heart. It could be the devil. It could be our own conscience. But here Paul says it is not God, because God is the one that justifies. See, God can't stand in heaven and say, I justify you, now I condemn you, going back and forth. It's either one or the other. You're not partly justified and partly condemned. You're either fully condemned under God's wrath because you have not received Jesus Christ, or you're fully free from that condemnation. Absolutely no condemnation is applied to your life because you are in Christ Jesus. So it's not God that condemns. It is Christ who died, furthermore is risen, and he's at the right hand of God making intercession for us. And so because we are in Christ Jesus, God will not condemn us. The only way he'd be able to condemn us is if he was to condemn his own son presently, right now, who's in his presence, at his right hand, making intercession for us, because we are in Christ Jesus. We're associated with him. We are one with him. And just one final thought, which is practical in relationship to no condemnation. This affects the motive or the reason you serve the Lord. If you don't understand that you are under no condemnation, you may still be trying to earn God's favor by your own good works and by your own efforts. But if you realize you're absolutely under no condemnation, then you're free now with the motive to love the Lord out of gratitude and respond to him because he's been so good to you. See, this is love, not that we love God, but that he loved us and gave himself for us. And so now we're free to serve the Lord out of gratitude and of love. And I believe that is the type of relationship the Lord wants with all of his children. I pray this study today has helped you in your relationship with the Lord and to see the beauty and the completeness of salvation, that all those that are in Christ Jesus are absolutely under no condemnation.